And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is, of course, Open Line, BYOT. We try to do one of these each week. And tonight, we are, in fact, Open Line. On this show, for the past several years, we've done a number of shows about an event that was told to us by John Vasquez. Now, this event took place, according to him, at Fort Benning in 1977. This event, as he describes it, was a there was an exercise called the Joint Attack Weapons Systems exercise, JAWS exercise. And he was there, and during this exercise, UFOs appeared. Someone fired upon a UFO. The UFO returned fire. There was somewhat of a battle. Three UFOs were downed. There were lots of people injured. There was also a mass abduction that took place. And I mean, it's a big deal. It's a huge story. It's one that a lot of people find way too fantastic to believe, and I hope you do. I hope you find it way too fantastic to believe, because, ladies and gentlemen, what is there to believe? What good does that, believing it, does it make it true? Or if you disbelieve it, does that make it untrue? Your belief or disbelief is completely, absolutely, utterly, and unambiguously not necessary. But in the real world, ladies and gentlemen, not this fictional world that we get spoon-fed by lamestream media and politicians. In the real world, we either know or we don't know. But we cannot achieve the status of knowing or the position of saying, well, I don't know, unless we hear the information, right? Well, John Vasquez, for some 30 years, has been on the trail of trying to find documentation and trying to find witnesses. He wrote a book about this, and finally a witness stepped forward, someone by the name of Command Sergeant Major James Norton. Now, we had him on the air two or three times, and he was pretty open, and I would say pretty in your face about his information, pretty brash about his information. And I cautioned him, even on the air, not to be brash about it, not to challenge somebody to do something to him. But he did. And then, quite mysteriously, some 6 months after the first appearance on this show, quite mysteriously, under really mysterious circumstances, James Norton died. He had a cascade of ever more severe symptoms and major organ failures and just died. And so the one witness that stepped forward and said, yes, I was there, I know it happened, it was real, that witness is gone. Well, John Vasquez did not stop looking, and he's with us for a few minutes here tonight. John, welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you.
Thank you very much, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Hey, Kevin, can you do me a favor? Can you turn your volume up a little bit? I can barely hear you.
No, sir, I cannot. That's why we ask people to use Skype.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
All right. Now, John, you've been hot on the trail of trying to get information and documentation, and you called me one day very excited about a document that you had found that confirms that the JAWS exercise did take place there, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And I remember you were not really pleased with me because I said, yeah, but John, that doesn't confirm anything about UFOs. It just says that that JAWS exercise took place. And so you weren't really happy with me about that, but I mean, you said, yeah, I see what you're saying. And you went looking for someone that could confirm it, and you finally wound up talking with someone in Army intelligence. You don't have to use this person's name. It's not necessary. But tell us what this person told you.
Well, this person that, first of all, she's with Army intelligence. And she had been working with Army intelligence for a while. And we're talking about all the way back to 97, I think it was. And he told me about these documents that he found while investigating another case. And he plain out told me that, hey, John, we could have a trade here. I'll give you these 300 documents if you just keep it quiet concerning the JAWS exercise. Well, I thought that was a great trade-off, so I said, sure, I'll take that with 300 documents. Just let me know if it's okay. And, well, he came along and said, here it is, 300 documents. And sure enough, these 300 documents were declassified. And my other friend, who been with me even today, she told me those are exact documents that the person looked for, and I find these documents. It's still here. So I was surprised, you know, and happy mm-hmm. about the whole deal.
Yeah.
And we're still working. I'm still working with this friend of mine, and we're going to look and talk some more about this soon.
And this friend of yours, does this friend work at Army Intelligence?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In the course of trying to find out about the UFOs there, did you discuss that with this friend at Army Intelligence?
Yeah, I told my friend that, yes, we can talk about this, and hopefully that my other friend, yourself, Kevin, will join us in this, but... what happened this morning?
Okay, well, whoa.
Yes.
We'll get to that. I want to know the answer to this question. I want to know the answer to this question. Did that friend tell you that the presence of UFOs is confirmed at that exercise?
Well, at that time when I heard that question, I couldn't answer it because...
No, just tell me now. Did she tell you that?
Did she tell me that? No. No.
Okay. All right. But when you asked her if she could confirm that UFOs were there, she told you, refer to the document.
Yes.
And the document does not say UFOs were there.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. And so now you set up a kind of an appointment with her and me to talk on the telephone, right?
Yes, I did.
And I said to you when you called me, I said, I'm going to ask that question. Are you confirming that UFOs were present at that exercise? Am I right? Isn't that what I told you that I was going to say to her?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, this was a telephone conversation between you and me, and that took place this morning.
Yes, this morning.
And I said, if she says anything other than yes or no, then I think you're being set up. And, you know, if it's real easy when I ask the question, are you confirming the presence of UFOs at that exercise at Fort Benning in 1977. Are you confirming that? It's real easy for her to say no. She could just say no. I'm not confirming that. But that isn't what happened. That isn't what happened. What happened was after you and I had that conversation, she called you and told you she didn't want to talk to me and gave you a telephone number and a name for me to call that person who was a public information officer. Right?
Yes, that's right.
Do you find that a little fishy?
Oh, yeah, you bet. It does sound like a little fishiness going on, but what do you expect from cloak and dagger time?
Well, I think I'm just imagining now. I'm speculating. I can't prove this, but I think they were listening to that telephone conversation. Because immediately after you and I hung up, she called you and did not want to talk to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, John, here's what I think, and I want to get your response to this. Here's what I think. Number one, I think it's a setup. They're telling you, refer to the document. So you go on the air and you say, well, they confirmed it. And, and here's the document. Well, then everybody takes a look at the document, and there's nothing in there about UFOs. And so, and that you can say, but they told me on the telephone, yes, that UFOs were present. So then all they have to do is say, we don't know what Mr. Vasquez is talking about. We referred him to the document. Here's the document. You can all see that there's nothing there about UFOs. We have no idea why he's fabricating this. And so it discredits you. Here's another thing that could happen. You're a veteran. And what they could do is they could say, you know what? We think Mr. Vasquez is a little bit nuts. And so they could, on the orders of a military doctor, have you committed. And we'll never see you again. So I told you before we got into all of this that I thought you were being set up, right?
Yes, that's true.
And I think I told you they will never get on the phone with me and confirm this. They will never say, yes, I'm confirming UFOs are there. And I said, you know, they'll simply refer us to the document. They'll never give us a yes or no answer. And although it happened a little differently than that, essentially I was correct. They didn't give us a yes or no answer.
All right,
I want you to hang on. We got more to talk about. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me is John Vasquez. And, John, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All right, so let me wrap up what I was saying. I think that they overheard, they didn't overhear, they eavesdropped, they wiretapped. I think, I'm not accusing them of that. This is my opinion, that they must have wiretapped and listened and heard me describe the game I thought they were playing. And so they knew the game was over. And they didn't want to talk to me. Which didn't surprise me at all, as you know. I wasn't surprised at all. And because cockroaches hate light. They just hate light. So, anyway, there's another point I want to make here, and then I want to get your response to this point. If you were just a crackpot out there telling this wild story, they would ignore you. Folks, do you have any idea how many crackpots there are in the country, in the world? Do you have any idea how many nutty people there are that just tell wild stuff that this nowhere near the truth? It doesn't even breathe on the truth. And, John, the Army intelligence has nothing to do with those people. They don't even worry about them. They're just nutty people, and everybody knows they're nuts. If you were just a crackpot, there would not have been what I think was an attempted setup.
That's true.
The fact that let's put it this way. If I am correct, and I may not be, but if I am correct, this was an attempt to set you up. And that, if that's true, is what that is Army intelligence being dumb enough to confirm that you're right on target. The fact that they tried to set you up, if they did, would confirm that you're on target. You're dead on target.
That's true. Definitely.
How do you feel about this? You think that they tried to set you up?
Well, no. Those guys are ready for that. I mean, that's the way they work.
Uh-huh.
Army intelligence are always doing that. You know, every day they got exercises going on to make sure that you know what you're doing and to, again, try these cloak and dagger exercises every day.
Uh-huh. So do you think they tried that on you? Do you think that this was an attempt to set you up?
Yeah, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Happens every time.
How do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like I've been used, that's for sure.
Well, not exactly. Yeah, I mean, they tried.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work, yeah. Did it?
Nah.
And, you know, the thing you can take away from this is confirmation that you're on target.
Yes, sir.
You don't sound too happy about this.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
You don't sound too happy about this.
Well, I mean, again, I've been working on this for weeks about this exercise with my friend, and it's starting to catch up with me, and I'm starting to get really tired.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do my best to keep it going.
Uh-huh. Okay, so now you have some confirmation that you're on target. Where do you go from here? What do you do next?
Well, I got to finish completing my story and completing the information that I already gathered. And I'm sure there's going to be something else that will perhaps give us a chance to understand exactly what happened.
You mean understand what happened back in 1977?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, it's an amazing story, John, and you've written a book about it. It's a good book. It came out several years ago. What's the name of the book?
Incident at Fort Benning.
Yeah, Incident at Fort Benning. It's been a long time since I read it, but I have read it. And it's a good book. There are other people related to this story that I have had conversations with, and it's pretty interesting that, you know, I'm not going to name any names. I don't do that. You know, if the person wants to step forward, they can, but or if they give me permission to use their name, I will. But one person that I talked to, and I think you will remember about this, you gave me this person's name. I called, and this person had a vivid memory of lots and lots and lots of stuff. When I brought up the UFOs, there was all kinds of nervousness and stuttering, and don't remember anything about that. And, you know, but everything else, good memory. And it would be one thing for the person to just say, no, I don't remember any of that. But when there's all that nervousness and stuttering and you know, and then no, I don't remember any of that. Then I know they do remember, but don't want to talk about it. So I know what you're up against. I've talked to some of the people that you've talked to, that you've put me in touch with. And, man, I wish you all the best. I think you're doing good work, and I'm pretty excited about all of this development today because, you know, if they were smart, they would have talked to me and simply answered my question when I said, are you confirming, when I would ask, are you confirming that UFOs were present at that exercise in 1977 at Fort Benning? Then all they would have to say is, no, we're not. And that's the end of it. I mean, that's a brick wall, and that's the end of it. There's nothing more I can say. But by doing what they did, and totally avoiding me, it tells me they were nervous about talking to me, and therefore, they punted. And that means you're on track. You're right on target.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I hope I'd shake the building.
Well, listen, you and I have both talked about how serious and dangerous it can be.
Yes.
Be very careful.
Yes, sir.
John, I want to thank you for your time, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. I really do. And I'm sure for a fact that a lot more will be breaking out soon.
You're sure that what? A lot more will be leaking out soon?
Well, I'm thinking about my contact, and I'm sure she knows about more than what I know.
Well, I wish you the best with that, and you stay in touch and let me know what the developments are.
Yes, sir, I will.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You too. Have a good night.
Okay. All right, folks, there you go. That's John Vasquez. And I'm getting some weird stuff happening on the computer just now. That's why I hesitated. I was reading some notices that popped up on the computer. Interesting. Very, very, very interesting, Mr. John Vasquez and his story. If the telephone lines are open, we are now open line BYOT. And if you have not, you don't know this story, there are parts of this available on my YouTube channel. My shows that I did with Command Sergeant Major James Norton, who is now deceased. You can go there and you can to the YouTube channel and you can watch those and listen to him. And, you know, it gets a little bit confusing when you talk with people who have experienced something extraordinary like this. Gets a little bit confusing. Everything's clear to them, but they get it all jumbled up sometimes in telling it. And so part of my job in that is to unravel the jumble and try to get it in some chronological order and make some sense of it. And so that's kind of what goes on in those shows, but there's some amazing information. And the YouTube channel is KSSHOW, KS Show. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Doc in Arkansas.
Hello, Doc.
I'll just give you folks a holler and ask you a question.
All right.
You know, I've been doing a little research about, you know, the Mars rover.
About the Mars rover. Which one? Opportunity or the new one, Curiosity?
The new one, Curiosity.
Okay. All right.
Well, my information, the stuff I've been researching is about the laser beam that's on the Mars rover.
Okay.
Because, you know, it has a nuclear battery power.
Right.
And how the laser beam is so powerful, I mean, it can only shoot for so many seconds, how it just, it astonished me, you know, about, you know, how this laser beam, how much it can actually incinerate.
Mm-hmm.
So how, what I was thinking about, I was talking to my other friend, who was talking about the picture you showed the other day.
Which picture?
A station or a building or something.
Okay.
I first thought it was a rock.
Are you talking about the one that looked like a some real sleek vehicle that had been blasted?
Yeah.
Okay.
It had the square corners and all that kind of stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it had a blast mark on the corner or something like that one side.
It sure did.
Kind of dark. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was, and I was talking to him because my friend that I know, he works at NASA. And he was saying, well, if it was this, or if it was that, possibility that the rover could have shot at it.
Well, except this. That picture was taken by the other rover, Opportunity, which it's in a completely different location. I don't think it's got a laser.
Well, that's what I was wondering. That's what I was talking to him, and he was saying maybe the new rover ran across it.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe they're telling us where that is at one spot.
Oh, wait a minute. I misspoke. That picture was not by the Opportunity rover, but by the Spirit rover. And okay. it was one in the last few days of Spirit Rover's life. It was near the end of the Spirit Rover. And it shot this picture. It was it had its wheel stuck in sand and it couldn't get out. It was in a sand trap.
Yeah.
And it pointed the camera over the edge of the crater, and you're looking down into the crater. And it shot that picture. Well, okay. That's NASA's picture. It's not mine. I got it right off of NASA's website. And there it is. Somebody else's rover down there. I don't know if it's had a crew or if it was robotic. I don't know. It looked like it had windshields.
Well, that's the reason I was, talking to him about it.
Because
at first I just thought it was a rock that was maybe, when they did have water there, it was a rock that had water, running over or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have smooth rocks because of, water flowing over it.
Yeah, well, rocks don't do that intricate engineering to that back rectangular piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Doc, can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And on the telephone with me, I hope still with us, is Doc from Arkansas. Are you still with us, Doc? Hello, Doc.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Doc, you were talking with a friend who works at NASA. And he was saying that the current rover that's up there is capable of doing a blast like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And, the thing is, the Curiosity rover, they tell us, is in Gale Crater, and that's where all the pictures are coming from. And this is a long distance away from Gale Crater. The picture that I showed, it's a long ways away from Gale Crater.
He was telling me, he said, well, there's always saying sometimes it ain't really where stuff is at, he said.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. See, the thing is, you go over to the Spirit rover pictures at NASA, and I forget what Sol it was, 2114, I think, yeah. And it has pictures in a series, and you can see, different stuff around where the Spirit rover was setting, I mean, it's pictures from all around it. And so, you're pretty sure that it's at Spirit Rover. But I don't know. There's also this. It's possible that the Spirit Rover had on board equipment they never told us about.
Yes.
And maybe it did have a laser. I don't know.
It could have had a laser. I don't know if it did or not. I'm just, from what I was told, you know, it had some stuff on it, and it had stuff capability of seeing and doing things.
Okay. Well, what did he say about the fact that there was this other rover?
Well, that's what I asked him, and he came out and he says, well, he says, by his advice that he would tell me, he says, you know, hey, you know, he said, hey, Doc, you know, a lot of things happen that they can't say everything.
Well,
and he says, just, you know, you got to look at it that way and take it like a grain of salt on some of the things.
There you go. Well, you know, that's like saying, it's at least this. It's at least saying this. Possibly it is somebody else's rover.
Well, we can't say there ain't no more rovers than other than ours out there either.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what he told me there already.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, there's one that's been blasted. And NASA took a picture of it, so, yeah. Yeah, somebody else had a rover up there. It may be another nation from Earth that has a rover up there that we didn't know about, but it also could be extraterrestrial.
Well, the shape of it now made me think of those what James Horrock talked about around the sun.
Yeah, and you'll laugh when I tell you this, Doc. I'll tell you what it looked like to me. When I was 11 years old, and look, when I was 11 years old, audience, there was no such thing as a home computer. And when I was 11 years old, there was no such thing as going to the moon. All right? But the point is this. I was 11 years old. My dad took us on vacation. And we just got in the car and toured America. And we went through Detroit, Michigan, and we went to the Ford automobile plant. They have a tour through there, and it's fascinating to watch how they do this. I mean, it's like one car every minute rolling off the line, something like that. And but they had there a big truck, you know, a big rig. Like an 18-wheeler. However, it had an engine that would burn anything that you could burn. Any kind of liquid that you could ignite, it would use it for fuel. And it was very, very futuristic. I remember taking a picture of it, and I had it for years. I don't know where it is now. It was a black and white picture. But I snapped a little picture of it. Very futuristic. And it was shaped, the front of it was shaped like that rover. Remember how sleek that front of that rover looked?
Mm-hmm.
That truck was shaped like that.
That reminded me of that, they came out with a movie a while back, too. And in the movie, it had that weird, you know, flat-facing truck like that, too, and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I know that something similar to that was built by Ford. When I was 11 years old, they had it. So that's why I say, you know, it could be something that was built here on Earth. It's somebody else's that we don't know about. Or it could be of ET origin. But somebody else had a rover up there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it was the Horak talked about around the sun.
Uh-huh.
I think it was one of those machines, maybe just broke down or crashed there.
Well, maybe, but I mean, those things around the sun are gigantic.
True.
And this was not. This was approximately the size of the Spirit rover, maybe just a little bit bigger.
But, okay, to me it looked like maybe the size of like our big Humvees or something.
Well, it could be. You know, it's hard to tell because, see, in order to know, you have to know the focal length of that camera and its elevation. You know, how high was it above the crater floor and things like that. And then you can do a little triangulation and figure out distance. It's pretty hard to tell.
Well, one of these days I have to get the exact number of that photo, and I'll talk to him about that photo.
Well, I'll tell you, it's on...
I know some of that information.
It's on Sol 2114, Spirit Rover Sol
2114.
There are 44 pictures there, and you'll see it. You remember what the picture looked like when it was zoomed out, you know, and when I wasn't zoomed in on it. Well, that's the way it'll look.
Well, I will definitely talk to him about that, and maybe he can shoot some information about distance to me.
Okay. Very good.
It shouldn't be too. That shouldn't be too classified, in my opinion.
Well, probably it should not be, but be sure and let us know.
I will. All right. Good evening, sir.
Thanks for the call. All right, the telephone lines are open. It is Open Line Live, and it is BYOT. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. We also have the flash message option open for those who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada. Just go to my website. You'll see the link that says flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tony from Norman.
Hello, Tony from Norman. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing outstanding. For those who are not in the United States, let me tell you that Norman is in Oklahoma.
I should have said that.
Yeah, that's all right.
Did you get my emails about the address?
No, I didn't. Did you use the contact page to send it?
Yes.
Well, I'll go back and look. When did you send it?
Oh, I'm going to guess within the last 5 days.
Well, I'll go back and check again. Perhaps it's there.
I'll send it again.
Okay. All right.
You said you wanted me to talk about something else. I can't remember now exactly what it was.
Well, aren't you the person who told us about a UFO abducting you?
Yes, that's happened twice that I know of.
Well, let's talk about that.
I think the last one was I was underneath the UFO.
All right. Yeah, you had started to tell us about that, and we just ran out of time. So we've got time. Tell us about that. What happened? When did this happen first, Tony? When did this event happen to you?
I'm going to guess somewhere around 76.
Okay.
Something like that.
And where were you? Were you in Oklahoma?
No, I'm from New York, Long Island.
All right.
And my first wife and I, before we were married, we used to go upstate a lot. And we were upstate somewhere. I don't know exactly.
Okay, Tony, I need you to hang on. We have a break taking over. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with us is Tony from Oklahoma. Tony, I do want to hear your story, but let me just ask you something I just thought about. Did you hear the show last night?
I think so. What was it about again?
Did you hear all the echoing going on last night?
Yes.
All right. I haven't changed a thing and no echoes tonight. So we were on target with our topic last night. Okay. So this happened to you in New York, right?
Yes, upstate New York.
Okay. So 1976, upstate New York. Tell us what happened.
We were on the interstate going somewhere. I can't remember exactly where we used to go. We used to go up there a lot, like on a Friday night. We'd come home from work and just say, hey, let's go upstate. Okay. And that's what we would do.
Okay.
So we were heading upstate, And for some reason, we got off the interstate. I don't know why. And we ended up on this two-lane road. And I remember I was doing about 60 miles an hour down this dark two-lane road past a guy on a tractor pulling a wagon, and that seems weird. And then all of a sudden the road ended. It went down in an incline into what looked like fog. There was fog all over what appeared to be some kind of large amount of water. And I just stood on the brakes to get the car to stop. And the next thing I remember is we were both in this gigantic field and opening in a like a forest area, and there was this disc sitting on the ground. It was black underneath, and as we walked under it, I've walked up to 747s, and this thing was a hell of a lot bigger than a 747.
And you could walk, you could just walk under it. You didn't have to duck down?
No, didn't have to duck down at all. You could look up. I'm going to guess probably 10 feet maybe. And there was an opening that was kind of like a hallway. And she was in front of me, and there were two on each side of her, one on each side of her.
Two what?
And I could see the back of their heads graze.
Okay.
And there were two in between us, and one on each of my arms. And the interior of this hallway seemed to be, it was flat black, and it seemed like it might have been rubber. There was no sign of any how to explain it. It seemed like one long, continuous piece. There was no separation as you walked through it. There was no lines, there was no moldings, there was no anything like that to show that, you know, this thing folded up or whatever.
Was
I don't know how it
was it lighted up inside?
Yeah.
Was there light inside?
The light between the ceiling and the wall and the floor and the wall were both curved. There was no straight line between the wall and the floor and the wall and the ceiling. And along the floor, there was like a yellowish-greenish light. I would say more something like fluorescent.
Okay.
But you could not tell where this light was coming from. There was no sign of any kind of bulbs, any kind of plastic coverings, separations, you know, where you would lift the cover off and change the bulb or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was just one long, continuous line of light.
Okay. Now, was it enough light that you could see what was around you, or were you pretty much blind to what was around you?
Oh, it was very clear.
Okay.
Everything was very bright inside.
Okay.
And at the end of this tunnel, hallway, whatever you want to call it, there were two columns, one on each side, with some kind of writing going up the column on each side.
All right. Now, have you ever tried to draw that writing?
No, I can almost see it, but I'm absolutely no good at art.
Okay.
And at the end of this hallway, it opened up into a very large room, and there was a being standing at some kind of a console. And that's all I remember from being inside.
Okay, now, this being that you saw, was it another gray, or was it something else?
It was something else. It was about 8 feet tall.
Did it look humanoid?
Wearing like a robe-type garment.
Did it look humanoid?
Its head was not really humanoid. It was humanoid in the fact that it was a head. But I don't remember seeing arms or legs because of what it was wearing.
Okay.
And the next thing I knew, we were behind a diner that was closed, and it was around 6 or 7 a.m. And the last time I looked at my clock, as we were going down that road, it was either 11 or 1. And I can't remember if it was 11 p.m. or 1 a.m.
All right. Now, you woke up behind this diner.
Yes.
And you were with the lady that eventually you married, right?
Yes.
And what did she have to say about all of this?
We never spoke about it.
Never?
Never.
Till today, you've never spoken about it.
I haven't spoken to her since probably about 1980.
Did you notice any change?
I don't even know if she knows.
Did you notice any change in her behavior after this?
We looked at each other and were wondering what the hell just happened. Why are we behind this diner? The diner wasn't open yet.
Uh-huh.
And neither one of us could figure out why we were there.
Uh-huh.
And I just pulled out of there and headed back for the interstate.
And you never, ever discussed this with her?
No, never have.
Uh-huh.
I didn't find out until after I had time regression hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Three times.
So you did not remember this until you were under hypnosis?
Exactly.
Ah.
I remember going down the road, and I remember the fog and the water, and I remember the disc, and that someone was standing to my right. But I could not remember who that was. And then I did eventually remember that it was her.
Uh-huh. All right. Wow, that's quite an experience there.
I'd just like to know what else happened inside.
All right, so let me ask you this. You've heard me talk about it, about the experience that my family had when I was 7 years old. We had missing time after all of us seeing a UFO. And you've heard me talk about, you know, people have asked me, you know, don't you want to be regressed and find out and all that? And I've always said, no, I don't care. So with that sort of as the background, let me ask you, do you really care what happened?
I have to say yes. I'm I'm curious.
You're curious, But it's not something that just consumes you, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it is? Well, then.
Yes, it, that and another abduction that I remember.
Let me ask you this. Why, and I'm asking because I'm curious. That's the only reason I'm asking. Why does it matter to you what happened?
I can't answer that.
Because you don't know why?
No, I guess I don't really know why.
Uh-huh. Well,
it played.
Well, see, the reason that I ask the questions, every single event that happens, you can have 100 different people that experience that event, and they will all experience that event differently. And,
yes.
You know, and I'm just curious because, you know, I don't know why, but for me, I just don't care. You know, whatever happened, I lived through it, and here I am. So, you know, as long as they just leave me alone, I don't care. But I talk to lots and lots of people who have had UFO encounters, and I'm always curious about, you know, their response to it. And Well, I guess what I wonder about more is why I just don't care.
Yeah. That's curious in itself.
Yeah.
The second one, I'll just tell you quickly, is I'm like 12 inches from the face of a gray, and I know this gray. I know him. And we must have been communicating. At that distance, we must have been communicating, and I don't remember anything, and I want to know why.
Uh-huh.
What was the communication?
When did this one happen?
When I was around 14.
And also then in New York, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Did you live anywhere close to Montauk?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, you know...
2 hours from there.
Well, 2 hours is pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I find it absolutely fascinating. And, you know, as I said earlier, I guess what is the most curious thing to me when I hear other people talk about encounters with UFOs, and I hear them say, like you, yeah, I want to know what happened. What's curious to me is, you know, I wonder, well, then everybody else seems to care what happened. Why don't you care, Kevin, what happened to you? And I just don't. I'm not curious about it. I just don't care. It's not, let me explain this, though, Tony. It's not that I don't want to know, really. I mean, if, say, someday the men in black walk in here and throw a file folder down in front of me and say, that's what happened to you. Okay. Cool. You know? I mean, that's not going to bother me. But I'm not inclined to go look for that information for some reason. I just don't care.
Why it matters to me, I don't think I can explain. It's something that it plagues me. It's on my mind. Not constantly, but very often.
Uh-huh.
I think about it a lot. And I think it's changed my life completely.
Okay, so would you think that it was a positive thing for you or a negative thing?
I don't remember anything negative.
Okay, but you said you think it changed your life. In what way?
To know that there are other life forms. And I've looked in the face of one.
Yeah.
And this was a living being, because I could see, as I was looking in his face, his eye twitched.
Uh-huh.
And a machine wouldn't do that.
Now, you wouldn't think it would. Yeah. Well, you know, I've come to grips with the fact that I am extraterrestrial. And by that, I mean, I was born here on this planet. But by that, you've heard me talk about it. We have 228 genes or 223, something like that. That the scientists say that they have no evolutionary precursors. That means they're not from this planet. Okay, well, those are in our genetics. I've got them, you've got them. That means that I am at least part extraterrestrial. And I've come to grips with that. I don't know where it's from. But whoever they are that are visiting us, no big deal. My folks are from there, wherever it is, you know. My ancestors are from there. Yours too.
It's just not something that can leave my mind. I don't feel, well, this is going to sound weird as hell.
That's okay. This program's weird as hell, so go ahead.
I just don't feel like I belong here. I don't understand anything about how this planet works.
You know something, though?
There's wars, why people kill each other. I can't hurt anything.
None of us belong here. You know, you've heard of the circadian rhythm?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, our circadian rhythm doesn't match Earth. It matches
Mars.
And
that's weird.
Yeah. So I don't think, you know, obviously there is a sense in which, for sure, I am from here. I was born here. At Methodist Hospital in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, so, I mean, I was born here. So, in that sense, I'm terrestrial. But I'm talking about ancestors way, 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 way back. Way back beyond prehistory. They're not from here. You know, they came here, but they're not from here. I was born in the United States, but, you know, I mean, look at me. I'm white. It's obvious I'm not, my family is not originally from here.
Right.
Okay, I'm from here now, but way back, my family was from Germany. And, well, you know, after they got over here, they believed in good international relations, and they tried to have as many as possible, so I'm kind of a Heinz 57 now. But, you know, I'm Cherokee and Mexican and Lord knows
Cherokee.
What else. Yeah. And so, but it's the same thing, you know. We're here, we were born here, but way back, our ancestors came from somewhere else, not from this planet.
I feel like there's something in my head that I cannot reach. And that's part of it, too. I want to know what that is that I can't,
mm-hmm.
I can't reach.
Well, you know, I was born and raised in the South, right? So
yes.
We have a little phrase. And, well, you're in Oklahoma, so that's South enough. You've heard this. You you have an itch that scratching can't cure.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, well, it's fascinating, Tony. It's fascinating. And, you know, I think there's no way to force open the doors of that knowledge. I don't think so. I don't think there's any way to force them open.
Well,
if you keep looking for the answers, you'll find them.
Maybe.
No, you will.
I'm beginning to wonder. I'm 66 years old now.
Well, you're not dead today, are you?
I love your Kevinisms and all that.
Yeah.
I swear I love those things.
Yeah, you're not dead today. I'm going to die someday, but not today. I'm too damn busy. And so, you know, we've got things to do. I'm alive today. I'm going to accomplish today. Look,
exactly.
Here's the deal, man. There are a lot of things, a lot of mysteries out there that I don't understand. I'm curious about all of them. And I'm curious about people. I love talking with people, or I couldn't do this. But here's the deal. When I get up in the morning, I realize that when you're asleep, you are doing absolutely nothing conscious to protect yourself or to keep yourself alive. You're a total potential victim when you're asleep.
Yeah.
So you wake up in the morning, you won. Yeah, you won.
I agree with that.
All right. So when I wake up, I'm a winner. I don't have to look at what I do during the day to determine at the end of the day if I was successful. I already won. I won.
I agree with that, too.
And everything else all day is incidental.
I tell you this, too. I don't think I'd wish something like this on anybody.
Tomorrow. Hey, we got to take a break. Thanks for the call, man. I got to run.
Okay. All right. Kevin, take care.
All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is BYOT. Wow. What a great time we just had with Tony. What tremendous information. BYOT stands for Bring Your Own Topic, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I'm going to try and help you understand why you're not interested and why Tony is.
Go ahead.
My cousin explained it to me once several years ago.
All right.
She didn't know she was explaining it to me, but she explained it.
Okay.
There are seminal events in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
For her, one of those events was the 89 earthquake in San Francisco. She measures time from that event.
Okay.
When you were young, you didn't have a seminal event that measured time. That encounter you had was not a seminal event for you that you know of. For Tony,
yeah.
It was on a subconscious level at the very least.
Well, you may be right about that. Now, that was a big, big event. For us,
yeah.
It's something me and my sister were very excited about, and my dad, you know, you've heard me describe. He told us it was a meteor. He read that in the newspaper, and
yeah.
I said, "Wait a minute, hang on." I mean, I'm 7 years old, but you know, even at 7 years old, I'd been out with him in our yard. We lived way out at the edge of Dallas. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We were in the city limits. But really, at that point, it was pretty much the country. It was, I mean, three blocks away, and you were into rural area. And I've been out in the yard with him watching meteor showers.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that meteors fall. And this thing, he said it was a meteor, and they found it in a farmer's field in Midlothian. Well, the problem with that is, even at 7 years old, I knew where Midlothian was. This thing came from the direction of Midlothian, flew over us, away from Midlothian, and was not headed for the ground.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a big event. Yeah, it was a big event, but maybe not one that... See, even today, I mean, as an adult, with my family and my wife and my kids, my first wife, we saw a UFO, and it wasn't zipping across the sky. It was just hovering above a field, not far from us and not very high. We got a real good look at it, and we watched it as it hovered for a while, and then it slowly turned and then accelerated very rapidly away. No sound. No sound whatsoever. Even now,
cool.
Even then, as an adult, it was like, okay then. Yeah. Well, that was cool. Let's go.
Yeah. Something in your psyche doesn't count those as seminal events.
I guess not.
For other people, they are.
Yeah. Now, if they would let me drive one of those, that would be cool. That might be a seminal event.
Yeah. The other things I wanted to talk about were when Tony was describing the construction, there's no seams.
Yeah.
Now, John Hutchinson, he has that technique where he's able to essentially meld metal with various other materials.
Right.
That is the beginning stages of that kind of construction. No seams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing about the lights... No particular light source.
Mm-hmm.
That technology exists in Ireland. It's called LED paint.
Okay.
You paint it on, and you just run a dimmer switch, and your walls light up.
Yeah, but now he said that the light was coming from a strip down at the floor.
Yeah, but they didn't have to paint the walls. They could just paint the strip along the floors.
Well, there you go. Okay. Yeah.
So that technology exists. We're just not being told about it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the list of things that we haven't been told about is a very long list.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. All right, man, I appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. Have a good evening.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. It is BYOT. Bring your own topic. We'll talk about whatever is on your mind, as long as it's within the world of the strange and unexplained. So far this evening, everything has qualified. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. I found Tony's story very interesting, and Tony comes across as a very nice and good person.
Yeah, I agree.
My concern here is not with Tony. It's with John Valquez.
Vasquez.
Vasquez.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about his safety.
Well, yeah, but you know something? He and I have talked about that a lot, and on a number of occasions. And, you know, back during the time when James Norton was coming on the air, I talked with John, and I talked with James privately. You know, I mean, not on the air, but just private conversations on the phone. And I told him, I said, man, you better back off. I'm not saying be quiet about it. I'm saying you better change the way you talk about it. And I don't know if you remember hearing those shows with him, but he was pretty brash and pretty in your face with it.
Yes, he was. I listened to everyone. I even re-listened to them as a member. And you even had to tell him not to disclose stuff that he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, no, don't say that on the air.
yeah. Well,
yeah.
My concern with John Vasquez is he has not the same attitude that Command Sergeant Major had, but he seems still to be vulnerable.
Anyone who has real information about real UFO events... And they do not only exist, they abound. But anyone who has real information about real UFO events is subject to special handling. Mm-hmm. And, anybody that thinks that doesn't happen anymore has been smoking left-handed cigarettes. It does happen. And,
That's my concern. A couple weeks ago, I think it was, maybe not a couple weeks ago, I was listening to Coast to Coast, and John B. Wells was the host, and he was talking to an individual about the murder of Philip Marshall, and Philip Marshall wrote some books on 9/11 conspiracy, and listening to that, they said he murdered, and it was a murder-suicide. He murdered his two children and the dog, and he was right-handed, and yet, the gunshot wound was on the left temple. And it seems like none of the police or anything, they just closed the case. And I'm looking at Command Sergeant Major the same way. My question, what I'm getting at is, what can we do about it?
Nothing.
Oh, God.
There's nothing that you can do in the face of evil except stand and be counted and do what's right and be willing to pay whatever price has to be paid. That's all you can do. But here's what happens. You see, evil feeds on fear. This is not theoretical either. I'm telling you, man, study history on this. Evil feeds on fear. And when enough people are no longer afraid, it starves the evil down.
You know what, Kevin, that makes sense to me. I just hope more people understand that and start to say no.
Yeah. It's the most powerful weapon on the planet, the word no. And, it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot of people saying no to stop a tyrant or to stop a tyrannical system. You get a significant portion of the population that says no, and it overloads the system's ability to do anything about it. There's nothing they can do about it. You take 25% of the American people. It doesn't even take half. It doesn't take a majority. You take 25% on any law that gets passed, 25% to say no, and it's done. Well, there's not enough jails for 25% of the population.
Well, it just seems like certain people are getting singled out.
And that's always been the case, and it will always be the case. And, here's the thing, though. They count, when they single somebody out and they kill them, they're counting on, we're going to make an example of this person. Well, what it takes is for the rest of us to say, an example of what? I came here dying, and you're going to threaten me with dying? You're going to have to do better than that.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Kevin, and I believe you. And it's just like when your show gets hit. It's like a spotlight.
Well, it is. And, I'm not foolish enough to think that they can't target me. They can. And they target the show. They hit the show. And to say that they would, there's no way they're ever going to kill me. I don't think they will, but I don't know. I don't worry about it. But I will tell you this. Don't you ever, anybody in this audience, don't you ever, if that happens, don't you ever let that be an example to you to keep your mouth shut. That ought to light your fuse. If that happens, stand up by the millions and scream no and tear their asses down.
Well, Kevin, my fuse is lit.
Well, and, the point is this, and I want to make this very clear. That's not the United States government. It's some rogues in the government. It's not the U.S. military. It's some rogues in it. And there's only a handful. You know, in Nazi Germany, that they had almost no Gestapo, but everybody thought they were everywhere. And let me tell you, they had almost no, they had Gestapo, but almost none. I mean, there were just a handful of them. But they had everybody believing that they were everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And they got everybody so scared that they thought they had to tell on their neighbors in order to stay in the good graces of the Gestapo. The real work of the Gestapo was done by people who were afraid of them.
Well, God give me the courage and everybody else not to fear.
Yeah, I'm not afraid. And I don't know what there is to be afraid of. Like I said, the day I was born, I was headed for the grave. You're going to threaten me with I'm going to die? Well, that's no big news. I've been knowing that for 59 years.
Well, Kevin, you know what? I had a heart attack, and I faced death once, and I'm not afraid anymore.
Nah, no reason. By the same token, there's no reason to take risks with your life that are unnecessary risks.
I understand that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, thank you for an interesting show. And keep on doing what you're doing.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic tonight. And, man, we've had some great, great calls tonight and some great topics under discussion. We have a flash message from Daniel in the U.K. He says, hi, Kevin. I am an American engineer working in the U.K. Just wanted to say and in quotes he has, other rover you showed last week is precisely what it appears to be. He doesn't elaborate. He does say that Daniel's not his real name. Okay. Well, Daniel, not your real name. Thank you for the flash message. And, you know, I think most things that we see are exactly what they appear to be. There are optical illusions, that's true. But those are rare. If they weren't rare, we could not function. You know, if everything you looked at was an optical illusion, you couldn't function. And yet, the powers that be want us to think that every space picture that we look at, you know, Mars, Venus, Saturn, Jupiter, Titan, Ganymede, whatever, everything that we look at, we see machinery there. Oh no, that's an optical illusion. Every single time. Every single time. Not even freaking possible. It's just not even possible. But I appreciate that, Daniel. You know, it's interesting, the show about Ganymede, because I did the show, and, I mean, it was blockbuster information. It really was. And almost nobody called. I just resorted to playing music at one point because nobody was calling. It's like, ho-hum, okay, so what? And I've gotten a bunch of email since then. And comments, even tonight we got comments. That whole thing about Ganymede, wow. I mean, wow. But it was just weird because it was just almost nobody. I think we had, three calls? Three callers. And now everybody wants to talk about it. But guess what? We moved on. So time to call and talk about Ganymede came and went. Except on BYOT, bring your own topic. Because we will talk about whatever you wish to talk about within the world of the strange and unexplained. However, you're going to have to do it like right now because we are just about out of showtime. You know, I love BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic. I love, you know, we do this, try to do it one night each week. I absolutely look forward to this. And the reason I look forward to it is, well, you've been listening to the show tonight. You have heard tonight some of the best calls, some of the best stuff discussed that you're ever going to hear anywhere. And you know, I just absolutely enjoy it. It's like you know, when I was a kid and it came time each year for the state fair, there was a day when the schools let out. I don't know if they do this anymore, but there was a day when the schools let out, and all the kids got a free ticket. All the kids in the schools in Dallas got a free ticket to get through the front gate at the state fair. Now, you still had, you know, you had to buy your, you know, whatever, you know, popcorn and Cokes and whatever stuff. And you still had to pay for your rides and stuff like that, but you got in free, you know. And, man, I looked forward to that every year. Man, if I could just last until state fair time, I could stay in school. Well, you know, I kind of have that same anticipation about Bring Your Own Topic Night, BYOT. Wow. If we can get to BYOT night, that's the high point for me. Now, some people, the high point is when I'm revealing something, some big blockbuster news, or I've got a guest that's doing that. And those are interesting for me, too. But I really like BYOT night because I get to hear from you. And I don't know what's going to come across those phone lines. I have no idea what you're going to say, what you're going to talk about. And I find out when all the rest of the audience finds out, same time. So it's always very exciting for me. You know, last night we talked about the research of Milton Flatus. He was with us. And his research into some measurements on this planet that he says point to and seem to predict who the next pope is going to be, and that this will be the last pope. And I've gotten some email about that today, and people were saying it was way too complicated, they couldn't understand it. Well, you got to go read the article, his article. And you read the article and look at the illustrations in his article, and you will understand. Very interesting stuff. I like his approach to it, don't you? His approach is, well, that's what it looks like it's pointing to. He says that's what it looks like it's pointing to this guy from Ghana as being the next pope. And then he says, but who knows? We'll know in a few days. We'll find out in a few days whether that's for real or not. And it may not be, but we'll see. There's a whole lot of stuff that's like that. And, you know, I've mentioned tonight that this show is all about weird stuff. It is. It's all about stuff outside of the mainstream. And some people get all wound up with that and get all anxious and get all this anxiety thing going on. You know, I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't do that. I hope you approach life like I do, at least in part. And that is, when you wake up in the morning, realize, first thing, you won. You woke up already a winner. Don't do anything to change that all day. You woke up a winner. And so everything else all day is just incidental. You already won. And if you approach it that way, then all this anxiety stuff is just not necessary. And you can live happy and you can live free no matter where you are, no matter whether you're rich or poor. You really can. All you have to do is realize, number one, you matter. Number two, you are a winner. You woke up. You could have lost. You could have died last night, but you didn't. So you are a winner. And when you do that, you know, all this other stuff that everybody gets all tied up about and all, you know, they're all up in knots about it, even during the work day, you know, well, we got to get this done. We got to get that done. If you don't do this, I'm going to fire you. Okay. I haven't met a boss yet that ever paid me enough to get to where he could give me a bad day. You know, in fact, I told the boss that. You don't pay me enough to give me a bad day. And I just don't have them. I invite you to join me. It's not a bad place to be. I just don't have bad days. Nobody on this planet can pay me enough to give me a bad day. So we talk about weird stuff, and some of it is kind of spooky sometimes. But whatever you do, don't let any of that affect you. It shouldn't. It's interesting for those who are curious. And sometimes it's important, but none of it should scare you. I wish we had time to answer that telephone call that's coming in, but we don't. We are out of time. We have actually less than a minute left. We've got about 30 seconds left. So we'll not be able to take that call, but I want to thank that caller anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been fun. My goodness, I love BYOT, and we got another one coming next week. I can hardly wait. That's going to be fantastic. But you know what? Tomorrow night, we're going to have a great show, and I hope you'll be here because we try to have a great show every single night. If this is your first time, make sure it's not your last.